Hello, and welcome to Primary Viewpoints from Patient Care Online, a monthly podcast that features informative conversations with healthcare experts, opinion leaders, and practicing physicians about what impacts primary care medicine today. My name is Sinead Jennings, and I am the Associate Editor at Patient Care Online, and in our first episode, Grace Halsey, Senior Editor of Patient Care Online, talks with Peter McAllister, MD, Medical Director at the New England Institute of Neurology and Headache, and Chief Medical Officer for the New England Institute for Clinical Research, both in Stamford, Connecticut, about the impact of COVID-19 on migraine patients.
So your practice is in the tri-state area, Stamford, Connecticut, so in the New York, New Jersey, Connecticut area. Could you describe the impact of COVID-19 on patient care, on healthcare in the area, on healthcare delivery in general, and then more specifically on your practice?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, the short answer is it's been profound. Clearly, with New York City being the epicenter of the number of cases and number of deaths, we are just up the road in Connecticut, kind of a suburb of New York City. So there were a lot of cases. There was a lot of people being quite afraid to go out, understandably and quite reasonably. And, you know, we had to make some big decisions at our practice. Some practices, neurological practices, closed their doors completely, and have gone to a full telemedicine thing. My perspective was that we could probably thread the needle and do it safely to be at least partially opened. And my thinking was that if somebody had a severe headache requiring, shots or intravenous meds, for example, if I wasn't open, they would go to the emergency room, which is about the last place you want somebody to go. Certainly my general neurology patients, my MS patients, et cetera, they need some interventional procedures that we offer here. So what we've done is the following. We will ask the day before a questionnaire for each new patient and each follow-up patient coming in based on exposures and whether they've had it, et cetera. We will take their temperature on the way in. We require they wear a mask. We have masks to provide them if they don't have one. Our staff all wears masks. We do testing on our staff, had been doing it on a weekly basis. And we've also taken half of our staff and assigned them to home, and then they rotate. So they spend 2 days in the office and 2 days at home, and they split Fridays. And what that's done is it's decreased the actual number of people, our footprint of people here. So it's actually a bit quiet. But I wasn't going to stop seeing patients because I felt that wasn't the right thing to do.
And also, one of my follow-up questions was going to be about how you handle patients on an acute basis who need a shot or an infusion for a headache or for some other medical problem, as well as Botox treatments, which can't easily be done elsewhere.
Right. And, you know, I'm on a bunch of listservs of headache specialists around the country, and most headache specialists come down solidly on the most profoundly impacted migraine patients, those who are having 25, 30 plus headache days. To take away their Botox would, again, either send them to the ER or make them non-functional. So that was a decision. Certainly, we have markedly curtailed, you know, our so-called elective procedures, and we're doing more FaceTime and Zoom visits, particularly at our older folks who we'd rather not bring out here. But if somebody wants to come out here for their Botox and feels it's very important to their overall neurological care, they're going to come here and get it. It will be masked. We'll take appropriate precautions.
So have you actually been, would you do telehealth visits or a phone visit for an initial visit with new patients and then move forward from there?
Yeah, so some of my colleagues prefer not to do consults by telehealth. My approach to telehealth is that it's the most minimally effective way to get ideas across in medicine. In other words, I'm not a big fan of it. It turns out it's even more reinforced in me that the human interaction, to be able to listen carefully to someone's story, to be able to examine them, et cetera, is really critically important. I'm glad we have telehealth. I'm glad insurers are covering it to variable extent, but it is just a bare bones minimum. So I will do a consult over telehealth, but I would also have people come in here. I had a woman who was 47 who her neurologist just closed the office completely. And she traveled the distance. She called up and said, are you seeing live patients? Our response was yes. She came in and actually had a brain disorder called CNS vasculitis. She had had multiple tiny strokes, and she was a young woman. She was admitted to the hospital, got a stat workup. I think she would have been in really bad shape had she not come in someplace and gotten examined. So I have another guy who has something called Guillain-Barré syndrome, diagnosed just last week, probably related to COVID because he had COVID 4 weeks ago. So, you know, neurology doesn't go away in the midst of a pandemic, unfortunately.
I know that headache has been discussed as one of the primary symptoms for some people who've been affected by COVID-19. Have you found any relationship at all among your migraine patients? First of all, have you had anybody who's contracted COVID? That makes more sense.
Yes. Well, again, because I'm in the tri-state area, I've been getting an increasingly a collection of people who have gotten through COVID and have come in now completely asymptomatic, afebrile, and telling me their story. And I've got just anecdotal stories, but a number of patients who are really bad migraine sufferers told me that, yes, they had a headache from COVID that was markedly different from their migraines. Not as severe, involving the entire head, moderate severity, non-throbbing, and their migraines kind of went away during COVID, particularly when it was at its worst. When they got better, they knew they were kind of out of the woods when their migraines came back. And that's something that we see in very sick individuals. Migraines kind of take a back seat. And once someone is out of the woods, migraines represent themselves. And although most headache specialists are familiar with that concept, we have no idea why.
Do you feel that going forward, the fear of the virus is going to continue to keep people from coming in when they need to?
It may to some extent, but I hope not. We all need to be very careful. We need to wash our hands. I think it's been shown fairly conclusively that face masks eliminate or decrease the ability of transmission. If you don't have multiple risk factors, I think you have to make a personal decision. Is it worth going to your doctor? I mean, when we hear these stories about kids not getting their normal routine vaccines because the parents are afraid to go out, when people are having anginal chest pain and aren't telling their doctor or going to an emergency room, I think net-net, that's a really bad idea. So I would encourage patients to be thoughtful and be careful, but if you need to go to your neurologist or any specialist, you should consider doing so.
Okay.